listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Feeling better than some head on a Sunday afternoon. Better than the chick to say yes too soon. Unless you have a daughter, that's what I call karma, and you pray to God she don't grow breasts too soon. Projects toe up, gang signs is thrown up, niggas hats broke off, that's how we grow up. Why else you think shorties write rhymes just to blow up? Get their first car and the IRS show up. He ain't never had shit, but he had that nine. Niggas come through flicking, then he had that shine. Put two and two together and a little bad weather. Gonna be the whole family in the funeral line. Ask the reverend, was the strip club cool? If my tips help send a pretty girl through school, that's all I want. Like, winos want that good whiskey. I ain't in the Klan, but I brought my hood with me. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house on a Monday. That's right, guys. And let me tell you something up front right away. TV is back. Mm-hmm. So show might be getting a little shorter. Okay, guys. Mm-hmm. You just gonna have to understand.
We got things to watch. And this is just the beginning. If they get ready to be full fledged, it's getting ready to be Monday through Friday.
TV so good right now. Okay. Gifted coming on tonight.
I've really enjoyed that.
Supergirl back tonight.
Mm-hmm. Arrow, you know, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow.
Still gotta watch my Love and Hip Hop support black women. You guys know what we do. So I mean, it is what it is, guys. Y'all get, and we work hard, man. We've been working so hard. This weekend we recorded so many podcasts. I mean, we did you know, the regular feedback show, mm-hmm. but then also I did Nina's podcast fandom show, mm-hmm. where we talked about Queen Sugar, and that's out, and that was a 2-episode recap, so check that out over at Podcast Fandom. Then me and Leslie Mack from Safety Pan Box, we did a review of The Defenders for Marvel, mm-hmm. that was cool. Then me and Karen went and saw that boring ass movie.
Boring.
And we did a review of Blade Runner 2049. Mm-hmm. Next morning, podcast. We had lunch with some people. And then after that, came home and did an off-season review for Preacher Season 2. And then we did Fear the Walking Dead recap at like 11, 12 o'clock at night. So what I'm saying is, y'all gonna have to deal with the show being a little shorter sometimes for the next however long this TV season is.
Yeah, we know how they take breaks and things like that, and then that's not including Friday when you recorded Balls Deep.
Yeah,
and you
this
recorded
too much.
This too much. So if you're on like the premium feed, you got a good hot and good 7 to 10 shows surrounding. I don't know how many, but you can't say you don't get your money's worth at our premium. By the time you divide it out, it's like 25 cents or less a show.
Right.
During the course of a month.
Right. Don't ever tell me we don't work. You ain't get your value. But, all right. Let's get into, today's topics. Of course, you can find us, the Blackout Tips, on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search those, places for the Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. We appreciate everyone that has the time to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball. Extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. Okay, Shadow Dog Productions, the maker of some fine handcrafted audio plays. You can find our audio plays albums on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search for The Best of Rod and Karen or Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. We appreciate everybody takes the time out to do that, because that's a good way to keep us sponsored. You know, you guys click on these sponsors, you go and check them out, that stuff all helps, and thank you so much. So yeah, go check out both of those albums, very funny stuff. Also, don't, you know, we're getting those emails about Safety Pan Box. Appreciate y'all.
Wonderful.
We already got a few. Apparently way more white people listening to this than I knew.
Yeah, shout out to the white people, we know y'all out there, so we thank you and we appreciate you. And I think Saturday, so y'all got to Saturday to get them in. This is the only time it's gonna be white folks only,
right? So keep those emails coming in.
Yes, thank you guys.
All kinds of news today. I don't even really know where to start. Some of it's fucking with black people news, but then it's like the main topics that people talked about today. But we'll just start with some news and news today. First, some good news. There is a black couple that is gonna get a TV show on HGTV for their new Flip or Flop series.
I am here for it. Truthfully, I love HGTV, like, but that is like white on top of white with some cheese and some mayo, white overall show. Mm-hmm. Like most of their shows are white. So I am, you know, you might have a few spots, but you know, as far as like leading the show and being the head of the show and like running everything, I am here for this.
Yeah, the preview pic of them, I looked at it and for some reason they're not smiling in the promotional pic that they put out. I was like, I just want to name they mixtape when I seen they picture.
Yes.
You know, like flip this beat or flop, you know. somebody put flip mode squad on my Twitter.
Yes.
Like I just wanted to someone said wish a nigga would WOOD.
Yes.
Like I really just wanted to name the group, man. Like I just, it was so, I was just like, why do they look so serious? But yes, Andy and Ashley Williams, they'll headline flip or flop Fort Worth. The couple, both military veterans, met while serving in Iraq. Now they are married and they have two kids. Their company is Recon Realty. While Andy finds the properties and manages the renovations, Ashley leads the design effort. They use real estate as a way to transition back to civilian life. The Williamses want to use this platform to help other veterans. And they have a picture. We want to show other veterans and their families a possible transition to add value in your community, create an impact, and make an honest living. It's originally set to air in 2018, but now the network says it's gonna premiere November 2nd this year.
Wonderful. So, get that diversity out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is the thing about HGTV. Like every time I turn it on, I see like white people looking at houses. Yeah. I just turn it off.
Yeah, it's the property brothers, it's right. Brother and sister, it's cousins,
that one flip or flop couple that's breaking up.
Yes, and we cover on white people news. Right. I'm here for this.
Congratulations, William sis. Mm-hmm. And I hope the show is dope. I hope it's takes off.
What was South Park did a joke on it about the house flipping.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of that show?
White people buying houses, something. Yes! Like white people flipping houses. Yeah, well now we got black people flipping houses.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, so I can't wait, guys, to flip a butterfly premiering.
Come on. My house matters. That's going to be the name of my right. House matters.
Right. My house matters.
I am here for that.
Mm-hmm. Vin Diesel addresses Dwayne, The Rock Johnson, and Tyrese Gibson Fast and Furious feud. So Tyrese took to Twitter and started complaining about The Rock because The Rock's going to be doing his own movie with Jason Statham that is a spinoff of the Fast and Furious franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Statham and The Rock are, of course, two legitimate superstars of film.
And their chemistry is great together.
Yeah, and they can go do the show by themselves. They don't really need do a movie by themselves. Mm-hmm. It's just going to put more money in everybody's pocket.
Right, in everybody's pocket.
It was the introduction of Statham and especially Dwayne Johnson and The Rock that actually kind of brought the series back.
Right, because it was actually dying. Mm-hmm. And when The Rock came back, when he joined, it's like the boost that the series needed. And it's been on and popping ever since. Like,
yeah, that's actually my favorite. That's actually my favorite one.
Me too.
Is the one where The Rock is introduced. That's my favorite of the Fast and Furious series.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people would probably say that. Vin Diesel took to Instagram to share his own thoughts on the feud brewing between his Fast and Furious co-stars Tyrese Gibson and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. But was he throwing shade at the Baywatch star? Posting a photo of the WWE star, the Last Witch Hunter actor, began his post by writing, "Brotherhood and all its complexities. This scene was filmed in Puerto Rico. I can remember like it was yesterday. Such a beautiful island, and people were so warm and welcoming. I turned 43 that summer, and my son Vincent was born." And it's a picture of him with The Rock. A woman named Jan Kelly responded to a question I asked on Facebook who they would like to see me work with. She said, would love to see me work with Dwayne. I listened to a request and he became Hobbs. The action star 50 wrote, insinuating that it was his decision to cast Johnson for the Fast and Furious franchise. I know there has been a lot of speculation as to why Fast 9 release date was pushed, but it would be unfair to say it's anyone's fault. As we plot the course to expand the Fast and Furious universe, one must be mindful to take stock in the roles we took to get here. The pillars of authenticity, family, and most importantly, our loyal fans' perspectives have been instrumental in procuring success, Diesel continued. However, like any vehicle that has run around the globe 8 times, the franchise is in need of maintenance. My good friend and the godfather of Universal, Ron Meyer, has granted me the time to do just that. We have some very exciting news to share soon. Stay tuned. Yours truly, Dom. Hashtag family always. But he really signed it as Dom.
Mm-hmm. But he probably really believes he's Dom.
God damn it, Vin Diesel.
That's why he's the best.
Ludacris commented on the post with 2 emojis depicting arms making muscles.
One thing about him, he's like, just call me, where do I sign? You don't hear shit from that nigga.
Right, he ain't got no ego about it. Just
right,
it's a check clearing. But Diesel's post came on the heels of Gibson's social media rants, where he shared several posts on Twitter and Instagram blaming Johnson for delaying of the 9th film in Fast Furious franchise because he is starring as Hobbs in a spinoff with Jason Statham. Hashtag PSA, congratulations to The Rock and your brother-in-law aka 7 Bucks producing partner at HH Garcia 41 for making the Fast and Furious franchise about you. Oh, that's sarcastic congratulations. Gibson 38 wrote on Instagram, and like you, DJ, even if they call, I will not be deleting this post. Gibson took his frustration to Twitter and scathing post directed towards Johnson on Friday, October 6th, writing, the real selfish hashtag candy ass revealed. Why you on Twitter? You lost my number, right? I'm at you when I see you hashtag family, and you still promoting a movie that no one wants to see made, but you clown, fuck out of here. I'm gonna tell you like this. One, The Rock just tweeted through this shit. And I haven't seen Tyrese ignore it like this since when Twitter first started and he was outside his baby mama house.
Come on.
Live tweeting trying to see his kids.
And people, you had to be old school when you see that one.
Oh, that was a good day. That was a top 5 Twitter day, guys.
Come on, of all time.
But yeah, he said he's on Twitter and won't hit my cell at The Rock. This is the people's champ. Hashtag Shaw Hobbs epic failure. You came to break up the Fast family, he added, and since deleted tweets. He said he wasn't going to delete them. Us Weekly has reached out to Josh's rep for comment, and he didn't comment, but he put up a video of himself working out, and he said some shit like, something like big dogs eating little puppy stay on the porch, bitching. It was just something, you know, The Rock. And it was him working out with a big ass chain on his neck. I was like, Tyrese talking about he gonna do something when you see him in person. Nigga, you ain't gonna do a goddamn thing because none of us would.
He don't want none of that.
Right.
And it's one of the things where, I'm not trying to be funny, out of all, because it's a big cast.
Right.
You're the only one complaining.
Right.
Like, is there something wrong with your finances where you feel like that you really need this money or you really need to cast that? Because nobody else has a problem with this.
Right.
And my thing, they would never make a movie based off of you.
Right. Unless you're going to kill this nigga with a gun or some shit, you're not going to do nothing to fucking Dwayne The Rock Johnson in person. I feel like it's pretty obvious what's going on with Tyrese based on his tweets.
What is that? What are you doing?
Sorry. Excuse me. I'm just enjoying these sour grapes you brought.
What you got there, sour grapes? You got a grip of sour grapes. Ooh, them sour grapes. You brought them sour grapes. Sour grapes, sour grapes.
You got them sour grapes.
Sour grapes. You brought a
grip of sour grapes.
Oh, woo.
You got them sour grapes. Yes, you do. You got them sour grapes.
Sour grapes.
Sound like you got them sour grapes to me, Karen. That's what I think is happening.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where if you was making a movie and let's say instead of them two, they had picked you, would you be complaining? Mm-hmm. Like nighttime fun. Like that's why I was like, okay, this isn't coming from like quote unquote good family place, in my opinion, because nobody else is complaining. Everybody's like, look, just call me, I'll be there when the check's clear.
Man, I bet The Rock could be like, why don't you come be the villain in the movie or some shit, and this nigga would be like, I'm there, like it's just for a check. But yeah, he also said, if you move forward with the hashtag Hobbs movie, you will have purposely ignored the heart-to-heart moment we had in my Sprinter. I don't want to hear from you until you remember what we talked about. I'm on your timeline because you're not responding to my text messages. Hashtag fast family. It's just that, a family. We don't fly solo. And then Vin Diesel posted a picture of him and the Paul Walker and Tyrese from a long time ago, mm-hmm. At some award, you know, in suits and shit, and and captioned it Brotherhood on Thursday. Which people thought, oh, is he trying to say something about, you know, Vin Diesel? I mean, about the Rock or something like that. But yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, and my thing is, for most people, the transaction is all about money. Like, this is a $1 billion franchise, and everybody's trying to make their money in various different ways, and everybody has done something outside. Even Vin Diesel himself have right. done shit. Even you have done shit outside of that franchise.
Right. He got mad. And he also got mad at The Rock. They had a feud before the last one. Him and The Rock. Vin Diesel and The Rock. So, yeah, I just thought that was all interesting.
Yeah, and truthfully, and like I said, I'm an outside looking in, but I think a lot of it may be like that hate or jealousy towards The Rock. You know, because he's the star, and nobody wants to admit that he is one of the main reasons that people come to that franchise. Everybody else is, you know, wherever you may fall. But you put The Rock in anything, I didn't even see the first Jumanji, whatever the hell that movie is. But I'm going to see it with The Rock in it, though.
Right. Congress to Twitter, get real about racism or get regulated. If you dip your toe in the cesspool of Twitter, you'll quickly realize it's nearly impossible to avoid race-baiting comments thrown around by pepes and trolls and assorted mean people. Now two members of Congress are trying to encourage a kinder, gentler social media site. Representatives Bonnie Watson Coleman and Emmanuel Cleaver wrote Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey a letter calling the site an avenue to spread racism and bigotry used for propagating hate and undermining democracy. In their letter, which was originally reported by Recode, the representatives wrote that they were concerned about reports of the proliferation of Russian bots that exploit political and social divisions in the United States, as well as trolls that disseminate racist ideologies that end up contributing to the types of violence that occurred in Charlottesville, Virginia in August. The lawmakers asked Twitter to share more information about their handling of racially divisive communications and the security procedures the company has in place to stop foreign entities, in particular, from spreading such messages. Coleman and Cleaver added that they were greatly concerned about Twitter's ability and capacity to tackle these issues on their own, and offered or threatened assistance in the form of additional regulation and increased government oversight on if the company doesn't take action.
Yeah, I have problems with this. The biggest problem with this is that whenever they get involved, it's always white people making these decisions. And so, you know, when they're making the decisions, they treat Black Lives Matters the same as they treat the KKK. So in their mind, they're gonna come in and be like, it's just all racist, and you're not gonna be able to separate the two. And it's just their way of just coming in and just deregulating. I mean, just coming in and just quote unquote cracking down and cleaning up Twitter. But what does that mean? You know, what is it gonna be the result? What's it gonna be the result of the federal government actually stepping in versus this a separate entity? You know, because when y'all step in, it's no freedom of speech not going to matter no more. Like, it's just a way to strip that away from people.
I think it's interesting because, one, you know that Russia manipulated Facebook ads.
Right.
You know they manipulated Twitter. They have tons of bots. They respond to everything Donald Trump says. They stir up racial tensions. That seems like a problem that's solvable because we know it's happening and they know where it's coming from. So then the question becomes, why have you never handled this problem? Because you tell us in hindsight what happened, which means you know. You see what I'm saying? So, like, we know that it's not a confusion. Like, oh, well, this person said this comp. This isn't even like, well, this person was talking bad about white people, so we had to get rid of them the same way we get rid of somebody talking about black people. That's not even what's happening right now. Like, the onslaught of fake accounts coming from another country and shit like that, that should be something that's easy to find out and be like, no, we're not letting people do that. We're not letting people have bulk accounts. We're checking IP addresses. You know, there's ways to do this that aren't just literally going in and reading every tweet and figuring out if it's a black person or not, you know?
Yeah, and I guess in my mind, I don't trust the government, and when they step in to do shit like this, it's not going to be, oh, we're just getting rid of these foreign accounts. It's like, let's do that and some more.
Yeah, I don't trust the government under Trump right now in general, but I trust Twitter less. I mean, maybe it's because my experience is different than most people's.
That's true.
From the harassment I get on there just by myself, the harassment I see other people get, you know, something has to be done.
Correct.
The fact that you can spread fake news and fake, you let people that are known, liars and shit, post on there as arbiters of news and stuff. I feel like they are, by their neutrality is still aiding the wrong people.
Correct. And I also do believe that people need to be held accountable, because they happen on your platform, so you need to be held accountable. So I do understand that perspective.
Yeah, like, because
you do need to be held accountable.
I do feel like part of why we lost that election for Democrats is the proliferation of fake news and the validating of fake news sources under the guise of, hey, we don't pick sides, we're just a social media platform. Well, you still put a check mark next to these alt-right motherfuckers, or you still allow people to tweet links that are blatant lies.
Come on, dog.
I think Facebook, I think Twitter, I think all these social media platforms have a moral obligation and a public responsibility to mitigate the harm that is done by the people that are on the platform. I do agree with you, though. This isn't to say you're wrong or anything. I do agree with you. However they decide to do it will still be some level of fucked up, because pretty much any way they decide was going to be some level of fucked up to somebody. But some of these problems are so overtly blatant that I'm like, that's not even getting into, well, I'm kicking you off because you said the N-word and it doesn't matter what your race is. We have an algorithm and the algorithm says N-word and we just kick people off. That's not even what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about, like, y'all do know that Sputnik 4793 and Sputnik 4794, those motherfuckers need to go. Like,
yes,
there's no, like, the fact that a bunch of eggs can just attack somebody out of nowhere. Like, you know, I have so many filters on my Twitter at this point to keep people I don't want in my mentions out of my fucking face. That's like your platform, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the platform you built. This is why you can't sell it,
right?
This is why your shares aren't worth that much. Like, these are the things that would help you out. And I do feel like if they won't do it, at some point maybe the government has to step in to Facebook and into that, because here's the problem: Facebook and Twitter, they've stepped into the government, you know what I mean? Like,
correct,
like they have been able to manipulate and move for good and bad the government, and not just here but around the world on stuff. Like, yeah, that means you, to me, you have some obligation to the public to know your shit. Like, to and they do it arbitrarily. They do it selectively already,
right?
So, you know, I feel like the government coming down and at least are encouraging them to do better is not a bad thing. But like you said, we'll see how they enforce it.
Right. Yes. I do agree with that. But, you know, it's like with everything with the government, where is the line drawn? Right. How far does the line go? Does the line all of a sudden see no race? You know, what are you going to do when it comes to this? Is it going to be something where, particularly deal with the federal government, well, y'all gonna go around and you're gonna make everybody give like all their personal information up to even do these accounts? Like, where do you go? Because some people, particularly black and brown people, like being on social media, and they like the fact that they can be on it and enjoy and not be judged, you know, can go out there and just be with their people. you know, if all of a sudden you be like, well, you know, it is against accounts now because we want to monitor it. We want to know you're a real person and not a robot. You got to, you know, give us your name, social security number, you know, all of a sudden you got to give, you know, pay fees and all that stuff. You're going to have a lot of people, they're not going to be on social media anymore. And you're going to have a lot of people like, I don't want to give you this information.
I don't know about the pay fees part. That's not what they were talking about necessarily, but I do think there's something to the fact that there are more black people on Twitter as is than any other platform. I understand the trepidation of worrying about some sort of regulation or something. I do, but at least in my experience, I can't, and it, I guess it's anecdotal to each of us, because probably the less followers you have, the less bad interactions you have.
Correct.
But I know as a visible person on that platform, mm-hmm. it's fucked up.
Yes, it is.
You know, I don't know. And like, if the point of social media is you want certain people on there because you value their opinions and their interaction for your platform. All I know is if you're not white, it's a bad platform for you. If you're not a man, it's a bad platform for you.
Come on.
And it can do better. You know, that's all I'm saying. It can do better. And especially when you look at stuff like manipulating elections, mm-hmm. manipulating the news, like the Facebook started it last year. Hey, this site is a site that just does nothing but put up fake news. We're no longer letting people post news from here. We're no longer letting people, our algorithm now pushes that to the bottom. You know, that's not a bad idea. Like you said, it's the enforcement that worries me.
Right.
I don't know how they would enforce it. Mm-mm. And I don't know which, you know, I don't have the right answer for that. I just know that these two people that did, they're right. Something does need to be done.
Yes, because the companies won't take the moral obligation to do it. So they have to be forced into doing it.
Right.
Because you've had ample enough time to make a decision. Right. And you have decided our decision is no decision. And right. No decision is a decision. So your no decision being a decision has caused somebody else to step in and be like, y'all have got to do something about this motherfucking platforms, because the way particularly Twitter is designed, the more visible you are, the more harassment you get.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, and a lot of times people that are not visible, they think that their experience on particularly Twitter is like people that have 20,000, 30,000 or a million followers, and it's not the same. Like, the experience is just not the same.
I mean, ultimately, the harassment of a lot of people is going to continue because it's other people doing it.
Correct.
Like, they're not biased, they're not fake. But the spread of, like, certain news that is fake, certain lies and stuff, that kind of shit is what I'm talking about. And I think that's what the government people are talking about. I don't even think they're talking about, like, Joe Blow going on there and being like, I hate niggers, as much as they're talking about, like, someone putting out an article that says Hillary Clinton eats babies, or, you know, Bernie Sanders was once charged with rape or something like that. And they're like, look at how powerful this tool is. It's a lie, and it's enough to make people get their news from Twitter. It's enough to make people go around like that's a fact. So, and I mean, in other countries, they do control the fake news shit. Like, they have standards. We're the country that just doesn't have standards on our news.
Correct.
Which is extremely worrisome, you know, mm-hmm. like there should be no Fox News should not exist.
No, it should not.
You know, but I feel like social media is a second chance to get to that shit early, as opposed to what we did with Fox News, which is now it's the biggest news station. It's the least truthful.
Correct.
Facebook is going to hire over 1,000 human monitors to work alongside this AI to try to stamp out election manipulation. A little late, but once again, I think this is a good thing. What I like about this is that it is humans, because those algorithms can't catch everything.
Mm-mm.
And they often catch things erroneously. I do think it's possible to make the platform of Facebook better.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that when it's they've never really put the manpower into it. They want to automate it. They want to figure out ways around it. There's no easy way around it. Human beings are slippery. They will find ways around all the stuff that you put in place just so they can be out there spreading fake news or harassing people or doxing people, stuff like that. And I guess maybe once that happens to people, they view it differently. But you see it happen to someone, I do view it as y'all can manage these problems. These are not, you know, some of these are just like straight up illegal, you know, harassment, death threats,
doxing.
Yeah, like Twitter has an issue with that, you know, when someone says something, let's dox this motherfucker. Gamergate spread through there, you know, like there's certain things where it's like y'all chose that. And I think, you know, them revealing that they had ads that were bought by Russians to show like black women shooting guns and shit and be like Black Lives Matter Michigan and shit like that to scare white people into voting for Trump and stuff. And you're like, these are the things that I'm like, y'all didn't have anyone that looked at that ad and went, no. When I submit an ad for our show, just when I want to boost a post, like, hey, come check out our store, it takes a delay. Something has to view that ad before it goes, you're approved, you're not approved. I've had ads not approved and I don't even know why, like what happened or what was the thing, right? My point is, if they can do that for me, you like to think someone spending money to vilify Black Lives Matter, you'd like to think that that would flag something or someone would put their eyes on that and go, you know what? No, we're not going to do that. So I hope that this is a step in the right direction and we'll see. I don't know if they can monitor everything, but that's a lot of people, a lot of manpower, a lot of money probably. Put your mouth where your money is, your money where your mouth is. You say you want to have, you know, a fair platform. This is one step towards doing that.
Yes, and I'm not trying to be funny. I did, out of these 1,000 peoples, what's the diversity of these people? Right. How many brown people? How many LGBTQ people? How many women do you have? What are the age range of these people? Like, that shit matters too, because what's the fucking point in having 1,000 white folks and put them out there, and a lot of them gonna have biases, a lot of them gonna be racist, well then nothing's going to motherfucking change.
Yeah, because a lot of the tech industry has some of these racist motherfuckers in it, you know. Now in this case, they're gonna be looking at ads, so not necessarily your personal information, but like deceptive ads created to affect the election. So 1,000 people will be looking at that. Yeah, I don't know, obviously, the racial breakdown and stuff like that.
Yeah, but that.
But, I mean, some of this shit should be obvious to, even if you're not a fucking, listen, even if you guys saw the ad, some of the ads say stuff like, refugees are rapists. That shouldn't take a black person to figure out, like, that ad can't be on our fucking platform. It should have never been on there in the first place. I don't know what they were doing before, if it's just all automated and it's just a money grabbing machine, but mm-hmm. Yeah, like clearly this seems so common sense to me, like, you know, I don't know, I guess in hindsight, but I mean, if you would have told me this plan 3 years ago and said, Rod, what do you think are some loopholes in this plan, I'd be like, if y'all don't check the fucking ad, someone's just gonna put something racist or bigoted or stupid up there and y'all gonna end up helping spread racism or bigotry or whatever. I think most black and brown people would have come up with that. So, like Karen said, if they don't have diverse people's eyes on this, it won't do any good. But mm-mm. I really do feel like some of this shit is so obvious.
Yeah, to us. But, you know, if you're, that's the thing, and that's where the disconnect is. It's obvious to us. But when you're looking at somebody that's racist or somebody that's already biased in a certain direction, as far as they're concerned, this is okay. Point, click, and keep it going.
Yeah, so... All right, let's see what else we got. Ticketmaster is suing brokers who use those automated, programs to buy up all the tickets.
About motherfucking time.
Yeah, they use bots to basically gain an advantage. They buy all the tickets to something, and they immediately put it on the resale market for gouged prices that are much, much higher than...
Sometimes double, triple, or quadruple, or sometimes 10 times more what the initial cost of the tickets were. And then you go online, and 5 minutes, they're all, the whole shit is fucking sold out, and everybody looking like, I just want a ticket. How did it get sold out within 5 minutes?
And the defendants are the same ones who agreed to never use bots in a settlement with New York Attorney General earlier this year. So they just like, fuck that shit. So yeah, what they do is, You know, they like I said, they use automated bots. They buy up all the tickets and they resell them. On Monday, the subsidiary of Live Nation filed suit in California against Prestige Entertainment, Renaissance Ventures, and two individuals for allegedly using technology to circumvent the rules and roadblocks put into place to crack down on ticket scalping. The appearance of these targets in a new lawsuit is notable. Earlier this year, Prestige / Renaissance agreed to fund $3.35 million of a $4.2 million settlement made with New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman and abstained from using bots to purchase tickets. However, Ticketmaster has already uncovered evidence that suggests Renaissance has already breached the agreement by continuing to utilize bots to purchase tickets offered by Ticketmaster.
Right, because what happens is you have something like that Rihanna concert we covered not too long ago where she's performing. The concert is actually sold out because the tickets are paid for, so the money is gone, but you don't have no fans because they can't pay eight times the fucking price for the tickets.
And also, the people who resell the tickets don't lower, sometimes they'll just take a loss.
Right.
Like, to them, it's like, well, I didn't get my $500 a seat that I thought I was gonna get, but I sold enough of these $500 seats that if the rest of them don't sell, that's fine. Like, I'm not lowering the price so that at the last minute everybody can fill up the arena. So now you got, like you said, Rihanna or some Ashanti performing to an empty arena that's sold out technically.
Right. Or like, that's one thing. I think Chance a lot of times buys his own tickets a lot of times. It was like, I want y'all to come. I don't want to be here performing because the bots have sold out, and you know I have, you know, $25 to $50 seats that they won't charge y'all $300 for. Like, that makes no goddamn sense.
But yeah, Ticketmaster adds that use of the bots is leading consumers to question its ability to ensure a level playing field and wasting resources. The complaint is grounded on cause of action of breach of contract, copyright infringement, and the Digital Millennium Act and torturous interference, the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, and New York's anti-scalping law. Represented by attorneys Manette Phelps, Ticketmaster is demanding an injunction and further monetary relief.
Good. So here's, the fuck out of them.
Here's the thing that should worry everybody, though. They already lost this once. They already agreed to pay $3.35 million. They did it again.
That's because
how much money are they making to justify breaking the law even after they got caught?
And they probably gonna do it again if you don't fucking shut them down.
Right.
And Ticketmaster is big enough where they be like, hey, we see what y'all doing, because you know they probably have shit that does algorithm, be like, hey, why is, you know, 1,000 hits for this concert coming from this one IP address? Because they can do that. You know, you have smaller, you know, people to do it that don't have the power nor the money nor the backing of a Ticketmaster to find out that they've done this to them also.
Yep. A woman whose dog found male body part on the beach claims it was an intact penis and testicles. That is scary. Scary as hell.
Right? What happened? You got stung by starfish? What happened?
I don't know. Starfish be stinging, y'all?
Jellyfish? Something got him.
Yeah, must have been something.
Swamp monster? Something got his ass out there.
Mm-hmm. Must be a seahorse cock.
That could make you slap somebody.
The woman whose dog found a male body part on Somerset Beach has claimed it appeared to be intact male genitals. Julie Edwards, who lives in Bean, came across the body part while walking her dog on Monday, September 25th. A spokeswoman for Avon and Somerset Constabulary said on Friday, September 29th, police were yet to conclusively identify the object and were assisting the coroner with inquiries. A week after making the find, Miss Edwards told Somerset Live, "My dog, who was a basset hound called Molly, and found a body part. I could see she was about to roll something around. It's usually maggots or a bird, but I stopped her to see it wasn't that at all.
Oh shit!
It definitely looked human to me, like it was an intact penis and male testicles. It was.
Oh shit! Would that just did a clean chop?
All right. I don't know. It's a different type of big chop there.
Yeah, you don't want that type of big chop.
It was upsetting more later on when you actually think that it could be someone's relative. Yeah, because before you just think it's like a lone penis.
Right, just randomly in the woods.
Soon after Miss Edwards had come across the body, she got in touch with a beach warden who subsequently reported the item to police. Police originally said they thought what was thought to be a male body part was found on the beach September 25th. We were called to Warren Road, possible remains found washed up on the beach. The matter's been referred to a coroner. Man, who gets that job? Test these balls, find out the DNA.
I know.
We are carrying out inquiries on behalf of the coroner to determine the nature of the item.
Somebody found him and then went missing.
Yeah, that's true. It was the first reported to us as a body part, but investigations have revealed that it might not be a human body part. Okay, well, that's good. It could be another animal or even a mineral. Mineral? What kind of mineral look like that?
What kind of mineral has a penis and two ball sacks?
Right. It will take time to figure out what it is exactly. Police have nothing to add on October 2nd, so hopefully we get an update soon, guys.
I mean, what is that out there doing to the animals they find out on the beach?
Right. Another anonymous local business person said, we do get bits and pieces washed up, like Second World War bombs, so it's not a massive sock. Let me tell you something.
Holy shit!
A bomb washing up is totally different than somebody's cock and balls. Okay, guys?
Come on!
Feel like these aren't World War II dicks.
No!
We just carry on with our day-to-day business, said one local resident. Guess he's out there having a ball, or two balls, and a penis. The 2016 three human feet were found on separate occasions in Bath.
Holy shit, what is happening here?
It was later determined that they were anatomical specimens used in teaching. So,
oh, like they were doing the class, they fell off and forgot about it and they floated up on shore.
Yeah, I mean, was Dexter working out there? I'll need to check around.
No, they're doing a bad job. They got back. We missing 3 feet. Oh, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's somebody's job to keep account of the body parts that fell off the boat.
I guess that's some of the water at the beach was 3 feet deep. All right. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. In the game, we go all around the globe. We find different articles, make us feel fucked with. We assign points, scores from 0 to 100. Intervals of 24. Intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Mm-hmm. Mm-mm-mm. You know what kind of beach that was in the last story, Karen?
What kind?
A pubic beach. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, guys. We all know it was a private beach. That's enough.
Was they softy chocolate balls that they found out on the beach?
No, they didn't say the race. Guess the race of that dick. It was a B beach C.
Hey.
All right, let's talk about racism, y'all. Insecure actress Amanda Seals, who you guys may know as Tiffany from Insecure.
Mm-hmm.
She sparked a little bit of
a tizzy. She be going hard.
She do? Okay. Yeah. The only thing I remember, honestly,
she ain't here for the game.
I wasn't really I didn't know much about her work before Insecure. Mm-hmm. I know she's called Amanda Diva. Some people said she had like an R&B career for a while and that didn't work out. People say and it's that thing where somebody fucks up, you don't know much about them. I mentioned it on Facebook and it was receipts. Just everybody had something. Be like, well, she did this to me and she said that to this person and she, you know, she got ran out of New York because she was just saying so much crazy shit and people was like, what the fuck? Nobody liked her. I didn't know any of this stuff. Mm-mm. To me, she was just a black woman that played an actress that was on Insecure. And the only other thing I remember her saying.
Oh, this is Tiffany. No. It's the other one that I'm thinking about that goes on social media and be going hard.
Kelly?
Yes.
Okay. The only other thing I remember about Amanda Seals is I think she was one of the people that got mad when the Ghostbusters trailer dropped and Leslie Jones was in it. Mm-hmm. And I remember we had a very nuanced, deep episode that day. Cause I was like, you know, I feel Amanda Seals on some levels that we don't have enough diversity and representation, but I don't understand when is Leslie Jones supposed to ever get her chance?
Right.
Like, is she supposed to never be in a movie? Cause it makes you as a black woman feel embarrassed cause you don't want to see a tall, dark, older, gregarious black woman who is hilarious to me.
Mm-hmm.
But she's supposed, but somehow she makes you feel insecure about yourself. So therefore, this is a Hollywood problem. This is, I, you know, we kind of talked about it on here, and I was like, well, to me, the issue is, why can't there only be one black woman in this film?
Right.
Why is there always, you know, like, cause it's not, cause it's a lie to say that that quote unquote type of black woman gets all the shine, cause that's a goddamn lie.
Ain't that the truth?
You know, that's like when people say like all the black movies are slave movies, and you're like, no, that's how you feel cause you're insecure about that type of movie. Mm-hmm. That doesn't represent even a large portion of the movies that we have every year as black people. Mm-mm. You know, we get one slave movie every 2 or 3 years and motherfuckers lose their goddamn mind. Like, that's all we get. That's right. All our entertainment.
But for someone, that's all they have attention to.
Yeah, because right. That's what makes them significant. That's what makes them feel insecure.
Correct.
You know, and I understand that. I don't hate people for that. Mm-hmm. I don't dislike them for that.
Right.
But I think we need to be honest about it and talk about the fact that we're insecure about it instead of saying these movies shouldn't exist or whatever.
Correct.
And the same thing with Leslie Jones. Like, if you have an issue with a particular bit she did, like the SNL bit, people didn't like that. I mean, I'm more willing to hear that. I understand. I don't necessarily agree, but obviously it's comedy. Not all her shit is gonna be palatable to everybody. Not everything she does is gonna be funny all the time, you know, all that stuff. That's what comedy is. You take a risk. But I just remember her specific critique being so, it just felt kind of anti-black to me. And a lot of blurred Twitter and shit was kind of jumping on it, like, yeah, this is why they got to do this. And I'm like, I don't know what y'all, like, what's the problem with this, you know what I mean? Like, what's the problem with her having that job? My question is, why can't one of the other castmates be a black woman? Anyway,
come on.
That's what I remember her from, and then I just really put it out of my mind after that day. Like, you know, whatever, you know, movie's gonna come out, everybody's gonna be fine. You know, all the, it's not like any of these other black women are having problems finding work in Hollywood. You look at people's receipts and credits, and like certain type of black women definitely get a lot more work than Leslie Jones been getting work. Yes. Who's just now really debuting at like 49 years old. Right. So, you know, I don't really know that she was ever going to be the case to point to and say, look at her stealing all the work from the quote unquote good black women. Cause it's like, what work is she stealing? You know, she's just now starting to shine. At any rate, people at that time were like, well, she said, like, she, like, we're retweeting her, she's always, you know, like, she on point, da da da. And I'm like, okay, I guess that must be everybody's fave. I had no idea that apparently she said shit in the past that people really don't fuck with her on.
Okay, I didn't know that either.
Right, and they were just saying it for that day because they happen to agree, which is some, you know,
a lot of people do.
Yeah, it's like human shit, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's, you know, Floyd Mayweather, piece of shit. Oh, Conor McGregor called him a boy. Floyd Mayweather, my hero, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. Anyway, outspoken actress and comedian Amanda Seales isn't one to shy away from sparking debate, and today on Twitter was no exception. She definitely rattled more than a few cages and sparked the latest outrage, latest round of heated debate about priorities and classism among black Americans. Early Monday morning, she tweeted, if you buying Jordans and Nike suits, but you are sleeping on an air mattress, you're losing. Follow up with, if you're buying Jordans and Nike suits, but you don't have a passport, you're losing. The insecure actress has mostly been
judging much,
right? And also, anytime you talk about Jordan and Nike, I'll immediately go to, this is anti-black.
Yes, sir.
Because it's like Jordans are like the dog whistle.
Yeah, it's like the white people. What about black on black crime? Like, that's, yeah. I hear
might as well be calling us thugs.
Come on, just call us niggas.
Right. Well, just call them niggas. Calling them thugs.
That's what I hear. Because who gives a fuck about these goddamn tennis shoes, and what does these two things equate to each other? It doesn't matter.
Right. And it does away with the reality of what people actually that rock.
Come on. So calling them thugs, just call them niggas. Just call them niggas.
Yeah, it does away with the reality of people that wear Jordans and what their lives are like.
Right.
Because it always paints them as like some impoverished, sleeping on an air mattress, don't have nothing, not taking care of their basic responsibilities, not having any needs met, and that's why they buy Jordans. And I'm like, this Jordans are a placeholder basically for black people spending money on anything quote unquote frivolously that you don't approve of. Cause if you buy video games, hey, you don't get to talk shit about people that buy Jordans. If you go to the club, you get, then you're like, anything you do to enjoy your life is the feeling that people get when they cop some J's. And that's not counting the people that even that flip them and get selling for more money. But just in general, anything a black person does in this country where they just enjoy themselves, spend their money, because guess what, dog, you're not gonna defeat capitalism by yourself, and it ain't gonna happen tonight. Like, so you might, if you get some new J's, if you get a new,
enjoy it,
right? If you, like we don't say that when we see a person buy a dog.
We don't say that when we see people go on vacation.
Yeah, but we don't go. Yeah, if, well, yeah, I mean, I, yeah, obviously, but we don't say it like, oh, you got a dog, but you ain't got a passport. We would never say some stupid shit like that.
Because it's,
what does one even have to do with the other?
Right, and it's dumb. And the thing is, I'm going to tell you right now, it put like this, and this is irrelevant. Why do motherfuckers act like a passport is $10 and a lollipop? Them motherfuckers is expensive.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? So there's hidden costs to getting. We talked about our experience getting our passports this year. And I thought, you know, this is a good moment because, one, we two regular niggas, and two, we didn't know, we didn't have a passport, we didn't know all the things that were entailed. We talked about the difficulty of finding a place to go get one. We talked about having to go out there twice. We talked about the hidden cost that you gotta have
cash
or money order. They don't take certain types of checks and shit.
Right.
You gotta go to the ATM. You know, and that's, and we have a car. We had the ability for Karen to take a day off work. We had to take 2 days off work, y'all. Cause Karen, the first time we went out there and they told us you gotta wait 3 months to get one, and then we only take appointments, and in order to get the appointment you need to call us on Saturday, but you call them on Saturday and they're like, yeah, we not answering the phone, and when they do answer the phone, too late, all the appointments is booked up for 3 months. Well, can I make one for 4 months out? No, we only book out 3 months in advance. Call back. Like, this is in Charlotte, North Carolina. This is a hub. Like, this is not a, it's not the biggest city in the world, but this ain't exactly like, you know, bumblefuck Tennessee, motherfucker. Like,
come on.
You should be able to figure out how to get a passport in this area without having to go through that many things. And even here, we have a couple of places you can get one. You know, and then if you want to rush, like if you're going to do, like, there's all these hidden costs and all this shit. And we are very fortunate to be able to do that
it's
shit.
A privilege to even get one. I don't know why people act like you can just walk in and be like, can I get my passport please? In order to even afford one is a privilege, because it's $100 for 10 years. A lot of people ain't got $100 for basic needs.
That's not even, but it was more than 100.
No, it was like 110.
It was 100. It was because we, it was because you, it's more shit you have to pay for.
That's
the
right.
thing. I remember because I had to take
right.
the money out to ATM.
It was extra fees. That's yeah. right.
Like, I can't remember exactly how much, but just for both of us, it was, I know it was like over $300 worth of shit. Like, that's just two people, and we didn't get a rush on anything.
Right, we didn't get a rush on it, and
nothing
it,
special about our shit.
Right.
Then if you want to get TSA clearance, that's extra shit. Like,
man, that's that whole nother thing in itself. And what they don't tell you either is that you have to have things like a birth certificate, and a lot of people don't right. have original copies of their birth certificate.
Right.
So if you don't have that, you
birth
got
certificate, driver's
got,
license.
Yeah. You, so you got to pay the fee to the hospital. This, and depending on how old you are, you know, they got to go dig it out of their files from $10 and send you a copy, and then they got to be certified and all this other shit. So that's a fee on top of the fee for just getting it, and then it's a fee for your picture. You know, for them to take the picture, it's a fee. That's not included any taxes with it. And like right said, that's not including the TSA shit. Cause I was like, I was going to try to get the TSA pre-check-in. There's two types. It's one for here in the United States, and it's one for global. And the one for global is $100. And I was like, well, yeah, I was going out of the country, y'all. So I'm like, well, yeah, let me get that one. They was like, it's $100. So that's on top of all the money we've already spent. Then they was like, yeah, you can get done at the airport. And I go to get it, and they was like, yeah, you can't get one till February of fucking next year.
Mm-hmm. So, one, it reminds me of something Earn said on Atlanta, and I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said poor people don't have time to invest in shit because people don't have time.
Right.
Like, I just don't have the time to wait for this money to grow, right? And people look as a passport as like an investment in traveling. but it's not really an investment in traveling, you know. But let's talk about that, right? Because there's a couple more things. One, this is just the argument for those who can't afford it, right? I'm not even trying to really make that argument. Mm-mm. If you can't afford it, you can't afford it.
Right.
That's, you know,
and there's no shame.
Yeah, I'm not even trying to really discuss that, to be honest. That seems like it should be extremely obvious to everybody.
Right.
That if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. That's not the thing. I'm saying, what about people that just make the choice? I don't want to travel. Right. I don't want to go over the globe.
Mm-mm.
I do want Nikes and fucking Jordans, and I want to be able to chill. I'm not losing in my life.
Mm-mm. All my bills are paid. My kids are taken care of.
Right. Like, why does this have to turn into me somehow letting blackness down, letting myself down, somehow losing out to you because you can globe hop or whatever, and it's something I just don't even really, I'm not even interested in.
Yeah, some people.
Not everybody has to be interested in the same shit. The same way that when you look at my video game console and you're not interested in playing it, all of a sudden I become a loser. Well, that's a choice I made. I don't feel like a loser. I'm enjoying my life. I might enjoy some fresh Jordans. I've never owned a pair of Jordans. I do have a passport. Neither one of those were political decisions. Neither one of those were decisions I made as a black person. And this is not against people that advocate, like, yo, if you get out and travel, do that. Like, if you want to travel, there's nothing wrong with wanting to travel. But once it turns into, because I want to shame everybody that's not,
right,
then it becomes super whack, dog. Like, nobody wants, like, you could have kept that BS opinion to yourself.
Right,
you know?
And just travel hop and have a good time. But some people use that as a way to actually judge people and as a way to shame people or as a way to make themselves feel better and make you look like less than. And I'm like, what does it matter? It's like you're causing an unnecessary conflict.
Right, and even with travel, what exactly is traveling? I mean, because one of the things I thought about this morning while I was looking at that, and I think we all go through this as black people, there's such a thin line in this country between legitimate critique and, like, you know, of this woke type shit that people are on and anti-blackness.
Right.
It's so razor thin. I check myself all the time. Sometimes I look back and I'm like, maybe that thing that I believed at the time, maybe I was wrong for that. Or maybe, you know, or just I'll be re-examining it and I'm like, I'm not so sure I should put that out there. Cause I don't know that that's fully an opinion that doesn't have some levels of anti-blackness attached to it. For example, you know, we're talking about traveling or when we're talking about education, like getting a degree and shit. A lot of these things are ways that white people measure which one of us Negroes are respectable.
Come on, and valuable.
Which ones of us are safe, as Karen said, valuable. And so feeding into that under the guise of you other niggas ain't shit.
Right.
It's just as problematic as when, as some fucking racist white person saying it about us.
It's the same thing.
Like, it's the same result is you lazy niggers enjoying your Nikes, and you ain't never even been to Brazil and you got a pair of Nikes. What's going on? As if that's just enough equivalent. But, you know, like that kind of shit. Now look at what traveling is for a lot of this shit. A lot of traveling is going to countries and staying in some resort or staying at a hotel or staying in a place where you're quote unquote safe. You're not really interacting with the local people. Mm-hmm. You're not really able to, you know, go out and experience for many reasons. I'm not even saying, like, I don't know. Maybe they kidnapping niggas. I'm just saying in general, traveling ain't exactly like, you know, putting on a mother, like going out and being a person of the world and putting a backpack on and hiking through, you know, like some of this shit is literally just hop on a plane, stay at a resort. Well, you can't really go outside of this motherfucker because shit is so much realer in these streets because the only money coming in is the money through tourism and the government's fucked up and the people are impoverished and nobody gives a fuck about them and all this type of shit. Like, there's more to it than just that. And it's to some extent, if we're just going around being like, I'm going to do an imitation of respectability or whiteness or whatever, and then use that and leverage it against black people, I just don't understand what the goal of that framing is. That's all. but yeah, she was like I said, going on Twitter and saying how you know, everybody was losing it. They didn't have a passport, but they had Jordans on. She mostly has been known for taking on white privilege and other social issues to task, often calling out other celebrities and entertainers for untoward comments or a lack of support for groups fighting for equality. However, Monday's comments were different in that they appeared directed towards a marginalized group, a group that she is considered to be a part of. Reactions were immediate, some were outraged, some agreed, and some just wanted to make light of the whole situation. Thanks to the lack of nuance in the comments, Sill's statement was easy to take out of context, dissect, and ridicule for creating a false binary while failing to take into account the myriad of factors that affect socioeconomic status, lifestyle choices, and personal prefaces. Many of the tweets reference Tiffany Dubois, her bourgeois borderline stuck-up character from Insecure, or the fact that some folks actually like to do both. Sills followed with an Instagram video to clarify her comments. Okay, well then this should just plain as this is probably
on my Twitter today. I was saying that, you know, if you can afford hella Jordans and Nike suits and you don't have a passport, you're losing. If you can afford hella Jordans and a Nike suit and you don't know what your credit score is or you don't have a credit card, you're losing. Why did I say this? Amanda, why did you say that? I said that because I feel like a lot of us spend our interests and our time and our money on frivolity in the way of practicality, and it prevents us from having forward movement and economic growth. And we consider that, oh, you know, it's everybody has a choice. But we act like giving suggestions to people or challenging people is somehow policing their choice. Everybody has a choice, including the choice to listen or ignore what other people suggest you do. I suggest that we all take a moment to look at our priorities and our spending and see how we can maybe adjust it to improve our livelihood, our longevity, and our legacy. On my Twitter today.
All right, so there's a couple of things to that. One, it wasn't hella Jordans, hella Nikes already, so that wasn't one thing. Two, you are policing their choice. Just because you recognize that you're doing it and then go, but I'm not, but you literally are. You're doing the thing you're saying you're not doing.
Right.
You are judging people for not making the same choices you about travel. Three, what the fuck is traveling doing to increase your economic mobility? Like, how is that actually moving you up in the ladder of success? Like, just because you have a passport. And then what? You know what I mean? Like, now you a nigga with a passport. I don't understand. You know, like, some of this shit is just, it's hella hotep-ish. You know what I mean? It's very much like, you black people is slaves to the this, and it's like, but wait a minute. What exactly would that do for me to not have, okay, so now I don't own any Nikes and I don't have any Jordans. Now what? I have a passport. What's the next plan to get my economics right? To your benefit, to what you think the standard should be for me, you know. And the one thing she did say I agree with is we can always ignore people like her and their opinions and shit, but she obviously couldn't ignore the feedback she got. She went and put out a video because she felt some type of way about these comments, you know. I don't really think it makes it any better what she said, to be honest. What I did find interesting though, and actually I had this on my Twitter, so let me go post it up, but what I did find interesting, y'all, is she did an interview talking about being a sneakerhead not too many years ago. Yep, receipts, man. All right,
people gonna go back and dig that shit up.
The internet is motherfucking forever. And I don't know I don't know when it's gonna, like, when people gonna be able to understand this and get into it, but yeah, the internet does not fucking wait around. Does not play around, and they will wait for the day that you that you fuck up, so it could be like, but remember when you had said. All right, let me see if I can find this this picture. But yeah, it was her doing the interview talking about her love for Nikes and shit and Jordans. Like, it's super ironic. Like, it's all, I said, is this Photoshop? Is this real? Did this actually happen? Yeah, she got interviewed in this magazine about shoes. It says, you mentioned on Twitter you're a sneaker fiend. When did you realize you were a sneaker fiend? Her. When I would decidedly choose to buy a pair of kicks over a meal. The hunger pangs will pass, but the kicks will be forever. It's funny to me too, guys. It's like a joke. What's your favorite sneaker that you own? Hands down, my Jordan 3s. Do you have a holy grail? The Jordan 3, but like Indiana Jones, I got my holy grail, lol. Yeah, and it's her literally wearing Jordans and taking a picture around a bunch of records and movies and DVDs that I'm assuming she owns, which are also frivolous purchases that don't move you up economically in society. But I guess that's different when she does it. It's just, well, you other black people. Mm-hmm. Now that the checks are coming in from Insecure, you other black people need to step your game up. You're losing. Okay, everybody? I'm gonna tell you like this, man. Black people, for the most part, ain't gotta do shit but stay black and die.
That's it.
Like, you can, like, that, this shit, but like I said, people were just telling me all day, like, well, she said this fucked up thing in the past. She said that. So I guess, one, I just didn't know, about all that shit. And then two, you know, as far as I was concerned, the only work of hers I knew was, Tiffany from Insecure.
Me
so.
Too.
Anyway, 0 to 100.
Oh, she get 100.
Yeah, just for loud and wrong for no reason. Let's see what else happened. Oh man, this is, I don't even have this article, but Jemele Hill got suspended today for 2 weeks from ESPN for comments she made on Twitter after they quote unquote warned her. I wonder if I had this under Ballsy Sports. I know I got this article somewhere, but yeah, they said they suspended her over social media use. None of the people that were involved in the suspension came forward to be like, this is exactly why, but Deadspin and some other people got a hold of why. Basically what happened is, Jemele Hill said, everybody's mad at the players because Jerry Jones released a statement basically saying, anybody that disrespects the flag as a Cowboys player will not play this game or will not be playing on the field or whatever, right? So then, of course, all the woke people at home, all the, you know, all the ride or die, go pay, go be my mule ass, you know, sitting on the couch, black people that, you know, that are super, super militant online were like, y'all niggas need to take a knee and fuck Jerry Jones and all that shit, which I'm like, listen, do whatever you feel like doing.
Right.
Like, one, the knee shit ain't even about Kaepernick no more or what he was talking about. Mm-mm. Like, we're so far off of that. Last week was the perfect excuse and thing for the owners. It really bailed them out. Going out there, holding arms, all those niggas agreeing to it or, you know, whatever, out of solidarity and unity and shit. To me, it was over then. I was like, oh, okay, so cool. These protests now mean nothing. Fine by me. Like, I never really gave that much of a fuck in the first place because I don't know what the ask is for all of this shit in the first place. Like, Kaepernick's the only dude that did it to make a statement. Even with Cap, he puts his money where his mouth is. He goes out and does a bunch of work and stuff, but I don't know what the NFL's supposed to do to fix these problems. I don't know what anyone wants from them specifically as a league and an organization that would satisfy the crowd of people that are like, I'm sick of police brutality and abuse and injustice. I don't even know I can't even begin to answer that question. And that doesn't mean they shouldn't protest. To me, that just means I don't know when a protest's supposed to end. I don't know when it's supposed to start. I don't know why some weeks dudes get up and stand, and then the next week they'll do take a knee, and then next week they'll do black power fist, and then the next week they'll stand again. And like, to me, I'm just like, go out and do whatever the fuck you want. It really, you know, you're there to play football, you're at work, I get it. I don't really, if you feel that powerful and that strong about something, then please, by all means, exercise your rights. But like I said, if there's some consequences behind that shit and you don't feel like dealing with it because you at work, I'm black. I've been black in America a long time. I also get that feeling of I don't feel like dealing with this shit. you know.
And every fight ain't your fight. I know a lot of people think you're supposed to fight and be mad at everything. You go insane. Every fight, right. You just don't have the time or the energy nor the resources to deal with. You will be fucking mad 24/7.
And I think it's just my temperament, too. Like, everybody don't got the same temperament, right? Because, like, I'm an atheist. You know how many times I fucking stood for the Pledge of Allegiance or put my hand over my heart or been in a prayer circle or some shit? I'm just like, okay, well, I guess y'all are praying to your God. I'll bow my head and close my eyes. I don't then turn around like, you violated my motherfucking rights, dog. I'm gonna take a knee or whatever. Like, everyone got a different temperament. And at the same time, if I was in a group.
Oh, that'd be the best. Take a knee at Thanksgiving dinner.
Right. If I was in a group and there was an atheist there that was like, man, fuck this shit. I'm not taking no, I don't want to listen to y'all pray or whatever. I'm stepping outside. I understand. Ooh. That dude too. I'm like, yeah, man, he just don't feel like that shit. So, at any rate, people were coming down on these black men because, which I always hate, you know, it is a big pet peeve of mine. Remember after, something Sterling, what was the guy who owned the Clippers? He said something racist, something Sterling. But after he said that racist, got caught saying that racist shit,
Donald
Sterling. Remember people wanted the NBA players to boycott? Y'all remember that? They're like, don't play a game until they kick him off of ownership. And I was like, if y'all don't get the fuck.
Come on, that work.
Like, just shut the fuck up. You know you don't do that. Like, you know
what
y'all ass.
What happened at your job that you right. Be pissed off, go home, rant to your mate or significant other or your kids and turn around and take your black ass in there the next morning like nothing ever happened.
Right. Like, come on. The fuck, man. But that was that. But it, like I said, it then turns into, well, if you don't, you a coon, you a Uncle Tom, you a sellout for, you know, going to work and playing basketball like your job is, you know. And so that's what was happening to the Cowboys yesterday. People were, oh, you got to go out there and take a knee. You got to show, make a point, and don't let this white man tell you what to do. And I'm like, yeah, this is why I tapped out of this kind of discussion in general. Like, it's become about some other shit. You know, the president is setting up stunts at games to purposely go on, so he can go on Twitter and talk shit. Like, he sent the vice president to the Colts game just because he knew some of the 49ers players would do the knee, and then he instructed the vice president to leave early so they could then be like disrespecting the flag because they've decided to target these rich black men as the latest, like, wink wink, white people, you're not racist, but don't we all agree that we hate these outspoken black rich men? Shouldn't they just be grateful and shut the fuck up? So it has become about something much bigger in a way, but just also much, much different than Kaepernick's point. Like, now it's about your politics. It's about Donald Trump telling people what to do. It's about, quote unquote, unity, whatever the fuck that means. It's about what does freedom of speech mean? It's about veterans. It's about everything except the original point of why the fuck are y'all killing these black people? Why don't we have the rights that we're supposed to have in this country? Cool, that no one wants to talk about it, fine, fuck it, I'm over it. Like, it doesn't even matter how many interviews y'all do, whatever, it's gonna come back to this every time. Got it. It's not even really the arena for the discussion, to be honest. Is no one's prepared for it. And ESPN, you know, obviously got mad at Jemele Hill for a couple weeks ago when she said that Trump was a white supremacist, tried to suspend her that day, but then all the black people were like, yeah, we're not going to take her place.
Because we don't want to deal with the backlash of showing up in her spot.
Right. So they just decided, well, fuck it then. We can't suspend her, so we're just going to come out and say, well, listen, don't do it again. You're being warned, but guys, you know, this is bad. Don't, you know, stay out of politics if you can, blah, blah, blah. What do you do when the politics comes for the sports, though?
Right.
Like, what do you do when the president of the United States and the vice president are setting up PR stunts using the NFL? What do you do then as a sports commentator,
like
as an analyst, and as a black person in America? What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to act like I don't see this? Am I supposed to support it? I don't understand. What am I supposed to do? You know, when owners are telling you know, their players, they better not protest or da da. Am I, as a fan, as a journalist, supposed to sit at home and go, none of my business? Like, I don't understand. These are huge stories. And now you don't want, now you want the people that you pay to be analysts and personalities to do their job with one hand tied behind their back, theoretically. So, to me, I understand the I understand the predicament that people are in when they're having a, black people especially, having to watch this shit and know what it, where's the line? What am I allowed to say and not say? And like most things on social media, you don't know till you cross the line.
Yes, that and all the restrictions go towards the niggas. There's a lot of white people that be out here wilding out and talking about all this shit all the time on their sports talk shows.
Unless you Sage Steele. Sage Steele work at ESPN. What are her restrictions? What are her restrictions? You know what I mean? Like, I get what the problem is. Like, I get also that, the front of it is a black woman. And it's complicated too, because on the one hand, what happened was she made comments that basically said, don't chastise the players. You are a fan. Where's your responsibility? You don't have to watch these games. You don't have to support their sponsors. If you really feel that strongly about it, it seems like the right thing to do would be to boycott the NFL or the Cowboys or Jerry Jones' sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
I think she's making a great point. And she was saying it to protect those black men on the field, essentially, which we'll get back to in a second, but don't lose that point right there. That's a very important point that I'm about to get to. She was doing this for the sake of protecting those black men on the field from the onslaught of people that were trying to blame them for another person's racism, their boss's racism, right? It's the difference between being like, fuck Dan Cathy, the owner of Chick-fil-A, for his homophobic, bigoted views, and literally going to Chick-fil-A and throwing a drink in somebody's face for working at Chick-fil-A. One of those is not cool.
No, it's not.
You know what I mean? Like, you lost your moral high ground. You lost your
righteousness. Has nothing to do with the other one.
Right. Like, now you've taken your you've become the monster in that in that case, right? At any rate, so she goes, basically, yeah, you could boycott. I'm not calling for a boycott. She made sure to clarify, like, this is not me calling for a boycott. This is me saying, if these are your problems, a boycott would be the thing, right? So they suspend her for 2 weeks. For no good reason, you know.
Yeah, she was on the list, and they was like, next time she come out and say something, she's suspended.
Yeah, she even said, just so we're clear, I'm not advocating the NFL boycott, but an unfair burden has been put on the players in Dallas and Miami with anthem directives. And ESPN decided this is too far. Now, here's the thing. Before we even get to the racism stuff, right, with Jamel, because people are going to be like, that's because she's black and she's a black woman talking about black stuff and black people can't be this outspoken, which obviously there's an element of that here. Let me tell y'all something, though. My dad told me this when I was a kid. I repeat it on this show all the time. My dad said, you are better off killing somebody than fucking with white people's money. That's, you'll do less time in jail, he said, for killing somebody than robbing a bank. And he was making a point about the importance of money to people over all their principles and causes and all that. Like, nothing moves in this country without the money. They suspended her because she was talking about the money. That's it. Because she's been talking, listen, if you follow Jamel, she ain't never stopped talking about race. Like, like, throughout the whole, like, she might get suspended thing, like, she straight up tweeted through that, like, whatever, let's talk about this racial shit, though, right? That, it wasn't until she said something about the sponsors and boycotting that they went red flag, you're getting out of control, right? Regardless of how truthful it is or anything, you work for us, we have contracts with the NFL and shit, you're not gonna be able to tell us, you're not going to be able to be a voice of us and say, boycott the commercials, boycott the sponsors, boycott the broadcast that we do. So it was going to be a non, like, this is one of those times where I legitimately believe if it would have been anyone or any race that went this far, they would have been like, your ass is in trouble, right? Bill Simmons, who was their fucking boy, he was their number one man. The 30 for 30, that's all Bill Simmons. Like, this, like, Bill Simmons built an empire for ESPN. Y'all know why he ended up getting cut loose? He wouldn't stop talking shit about Roger Goodell. Like, I remember reading the comments he had about Roger Goodell and going, they're not even that bad. But it was a direct shot at Roger Goodell, which is the NFL, which is ESPN's money, which is ABC's baby. And they said, you gotta go. Nobody fucks with the money. So that's the part of it that, you know, as a black person, I'm like, okay, I see, you know, just in general, I see how they get, how they slap Jamel's hand for this shit. I wouldn't have done it myself. Obviously, I don't agree with it. Obviously, she was telling the fucking truth. But yeah, you talked about the money. Here's the part that bothered me though. I'm seeing black men that celebrated this because she retweeted an article from Very Smart Brothers 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks now that said straight black men are the white people of black people. She never even released a comment on it, by the way. Never even released a comment. Never said anything about the article. Didn't even say if she agreed or disagreed. They attacked her relentlessly then, right after saying how brave she was for calling out Trump. They now go, I'm supposed to stand with her. I'm supposed to be mad because they got rid of her. She was just talking bad about straight black men. One, proving the title of the article correct. It's time to opt out, right, guys? Two, she was advocating for leaving these black men who were doing their jobs alone.
Niggas are dumb.
I don't, like, that's why I said I had to come back to that point. Her whole thing was, these niggas are at work. Just let them go do their jobs. If you really got a problem, go after the people with the money, and then that'll solve the problem. If that's your point.
But that's not the point.
And they went, good. We finally got that bitch. You and the motherfucking Confederate flag tone people, and the Make America Great Again people, and the people that, and Sage Steele, and Jason Whitlock are all celebrating at the same time. You don't feel a little bit like the white people or black people when you celebrating with them? Cause that's who you over there celebrating with. You don't feel a little bit like the problem when you're pumping your fist at the same time that Kurt Schilling is pumping his fist? You don't feel like the problem? Like, I don't understand how we get here. You know, but I've seen it enough. I've seen enough people retweeting it, seen enough people voicing that sentiment. It wasn't just a couple of people and shit. It was enough people for me to be like, oh, y'all got y'all feelings hurt over that article, and now y'all have gone totally white person. Like, I'm just against you. I don't care when you're right or wrong. I just want to have all the bad things in life happen to you. She didn't even do anything to anybody. Like, for you to be mad about. She got suspended for advocating for the protection of these black dudes. You know, if she really hated black men or some shit, you think she'd be like, yeah, coons, stand, get on your knees, bitch. Like,
but that's how it goes with us. We stand up for black men's right, and they still turn around and go, fuck you, bitch. And then you wonder why we don't support your motherfucking fake ass boycott.
Right. It's like they love you, then they hate you, then they love you again. Right.
And it makes me so upset because, and like I said, most of the time I'm pretty quiet on this, but I'm tired of niggas going out here defending and acting like Kaepernick is where you draw your motherfucking line.
Right.
Some people have problems with the NFL, have had problems with the NFL for years. I don't have a problem with that. I don't even have a problem with people protesting, okay? I don't have a problem with that at all. My problem is that a lot of you niggas are only protesting because it affected a black man, and you have a connection with the black man. A black man can't get a job, so all of a sudden, you feel like this is directly affecting you, and if Kaepernick would have been playing this year, you would not be motherfucking protesting. A lot of people, a lot of black men would not be be protesting. So I'm supposed to support your fake ass boycott, but then I'm supposed to turn around and look at you, bash a black woman that was actually standing up for your rights. Fuck you.
And they're the same people that was just protecting Cam under the auspices of race while he was being misogynistic towards a woman.
Right.
Like, what's the boycott even about at this point? You know, they went and found tweets of this woman from 3 years ago and called her a racist. And I'm not trying to be funny, guys. I read the tweets. If she's a racist, which, I mean, let's be honest, she's white. Probably everybody's white, right? You know, whatever. But if that's enough for you to be like, well, then we don't need to talk about this shit with Cam, you're the problem.
Right.
Like, it was literally her. It wasn't like a racist joke. It was like my dad making racist jokes on this trip. I was laughing. I'm like, I know too many niggas that laugh at fucked up racist shit for us to be sitting around pulling you tweeted about laughing at something racist, therefore you are racist. Or to say you tweeted about it 3 years ago when you were 22, therefore anything that happens to you is null and void. That's bullshit. Y'all don't even really believe that. Y'all just use that this time on this woman because it was a way to stop talking about Cam. That's it. Right? Like it's that simple. The other thing she did was retweet somebody who said nigga. Are we counting that? Is that the new rule? That make you a racist? Or was it just a way to make it, well, it's like both of them fucked up. So now we don't have to talk about the misogyny. That's what I saw. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not easily fooled like that. You're not gonna be like, ooh, rabbit, and I'm just gonna turn around and be like, well, I guess everything's okay. But that's why that shit is bull. That's why the boycott shit didn't take off for me. Mm-mm. You know, if other people reached their limit and they were fed up, I really didn't have a problem with that.
Right.
But once it reached into like, we all, so y'all ain't ready to boycott and shit, I'm like, no. Because y'all niggas stand for yourself, and then anytime it's somebody else, it's fuck them. Right? Any other excuse to say fuck is fuck them. Niggas was comparing Cam to Emmett Till. Is either Emmett Till again asked about routes? Because that's not what happened to Emmett Till. Like, what? Like, I just don't understand how we get to these points. And like I said, Jemele Hill becomes enemy number one for some niggas in this situation while advocating for your black ass to have a peace of mind at your job.
Right. And then my thing is, I'm supposed to be okay with you saying it's okay for Cam Newton to take his black ass on motherfucking TV and say female all the, well, he didn't call her a bitch, and but y'all female. I'm supposed to be okay with that, and I'm supposed to support your goddamn protest? No, I refuse. Because for some people, it ain't real, and you only care because of the black man, and you will not admit that fact. If you search in your heart, you only know that's why you're protesting. Anything else, you wouldn't care. And I've said this before, you didn't care about women getting beat. You didn't care about women getting raped. You didn't care about women getting murdered. You did not care. You did not care about any other crimes that these niggas have committed, black or white. No, you didn't care about anything else. This is where you drew your line. A lot of people have been mad for years, which I can understand that. But don't, and I think the problem I have, a lot of niggas have put themselves on a high moral horse because, oh, y'all niggas still watching? Yes. Yes, I'm still watching, and you're no better than me.
Yeah, I just think it's funny because we got people that like were in a place where they had a conspiracy to commit murder against them and going on TV being like, this is why you shouldn't be kneeling. We got people, you know, like, you know, people that had a manslaughter charge for drunk driving and killing somebody and dropping their like 2 cents on the shit. Like, it's just become a farce at this point.
Right.
It's no longer about the knee shit. I don't even care whether people are watching or not. That's really not the problem for me.
Mm-mm.
I just find it interesting that people couldn't even keep it however many weeks we are into this NFL season without sort of betraying their own sensibilities, without kind of revealing themselves, because I knew something would happen that was kind of sexist or misogynistic or whatever, and niggas would jump at the chance to defend a black man that they knew was wrong. Couldn't wait to defend Ezekiel Elliott. Couldn't wait. Became Emmett Till, this is about that. Okay, cool. Cam, can't wait. What is the line where a black man, y'all call Cam a coon up until, fuck it, even after he did the black power fist, people was calling him a coon. He said female all of a sudden he became the black king that need to be defended from these feminists. Like, it was amazing to watch and behold. And now we're watching Jemele Hill pay a price for continuing to be outspoken on this shit, and niggas are even supporting that. And I can't believe it really blew me, man. It really blew me today. Like, people been trash all day today, but you know, some of the things that happened, like Amanda Seale thing was sucked, and this Jemele Hill thing, like, just watching the reaction some people had to it really just drained me, because I'm like, what, like, what is your line even?
Right. It's like, I just wonder, you know, it's like, because I'm very observant, so I actually do look and read and pay attention to my social media. I might not as interact as much as Rob, but I do watch, and I do see the same people, like I said before, that want me to join this protest, but then turn around and say Cam was right, and then turn around and say, fuck Jemele.
Right.
So it's like, well, dawg, where is your line? Where's your loyalty when it comes to this? I'm consistent across the board.
Right. If somebody thought it was funny that a black man asked a good question at a meeting, y'all would lose your motherfucking minds, and we all know it. Let's move into, guest the race so we can start wrapping up. Like I said, shows gotta get a little shorter this winter for these shows coming back, man. You know? We still wanna try to do good things like cook for ourselves and, you know, all the things that keep us alive. All right, let me invite everybody over.
Okay, we're going to the next session.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I not? I thought I said I was going to the next session. That's on me. My bad, y'all. I know y'all just thought we ended the show there. All right, I just invited you back on screen, and then we'll do some guest stories. But 100 for me.
Oh yeah. It's, yeah, like I said, and it's 100 for me. It's 100 for me too. And like I said before, make this clear, I don't have a problem with people protesting. I'm just tired of people being wishy-washy on where they draw their line. Like, that's the problem. Where is your line?
Yeah, like I said, the morality is off. And right. So I don't really have time for any of it. Like, I had a moment yesterday where, I was watching some of the games, or maybe I was about to watch Fear the Walking Dead or something, and I looked at my timeline. I think it was because Jerry Jones said that shit. My whole timeline was about taking a knee. And I had a moment where I really was like, oh my God, I think I'm literally just over the whole thing. Like, I don't even care. Like, as far as just what someone does before the game, I don't think I care anymore. It's completely been gentrified and it's now pointless. It's now just keeping an argument going that nobody wants to discuss and solve. It ain't about Kaepernick having a job. It ain't about black people getting killed in the streets anymore. You know, there's some brave souls who are still doing it and like trying to fight to control the narrative and discuss it. You got the VP showing up making a spec. Like, if the point was to exhaust me with ridiculous bullshit to the point where I went, yeah, well, it's not like this was ever going to fix anything in the first place. I'm there already. So now we can just like, people can do whatever they want. I just don't understand why people still get mad either way. All right, let's do some, but yeah, 100, not like I said, not even really for the suspension, because I kind of understand the money part. I kind of understand ESPN's stance. Like last week when they said that shit, I was surprised. Last week, I think it was on Balls D, we read a statement from the CEO of ESPN or something, like Bob Iger, and we were like, oh wow, Bob Iger kind of gets it, that he'll never be a black person in America, understand racism, and that black people are covering this are going to be talking about race because it's impossible to avoid. Then Jemele said something about the money, and I guess Bob had a limit.
Well, if not him, other people was like, I know that's your dog, but no.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of those, well, we can all agree. And I do feel like it's a cumulative thing. Like, they really wanted to get her last time, and I guess they staved it off because enough black people said they refused to take her place. And then this time they were like, well, look, this is what happened because y'all didn't say nothing the first time. I guarantee that's that conversation. I can't wait till it leaks, because you know, it's ears everywhere now. So that conversation gonna leak about how she got suspended. Yes, somebody gonna talk, because not everybody had to agree. So somebody gonna talk. All right, let's get to some guest the race. Now that it's time for some guest the race, That's right, it's guess the race time. Now that is time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Ba-dum-bum. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe. We ask our contestants today, the chat room, and Karen to guess the race, and everybody plays along, and everybody is racist. All right.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No, you don't need to apologize. I didn't realize you were taking a drink. It's totally fine. You ready to do some racism?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see here. A mom is accused of leaving her kids during a European vacation, and she appears in court.
White.
I guess she got her passport.
I guess she did.
She wasn't wearing a Jordans and a Nike suit to court, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Nope. She might be wearing the red bottom shoes, but no Nikes.
These is red bottoms. Yeah, she accused of leaving her kids during a European vacation. She appeared in court today. What is her name? Why is this moving so slow right now? All right. A Johnston woman faces multiple charges after police say she left her four children home alone while taking a trip to Europe. Erin Lee Mack, M-A-C-K-E, 30, is charged with four counts of child endangerment, substantial risk, and one count of transfer of pistol or revolver to a person under 21. Did she get a baby as a gun?
Oh,
you gave the babies a gun, boo.
I'm assuming the baby under 21.
Oh my god. Yeah, so she appeared in court Friday. She's being held in Polk County Jail in lieu of $9,000 bond. She has no contact order, means she's not allowed to see the kids. Her next court date is October 9th. Johnson Police said Lieutenant Tyler Tompkins told KCCI that Mac left her children ages 12, 12, 7, and 6 alone on September 20th as she traveled to Germany. She said the children were left alone for 24 hours before the police department of Iowa Woo! Department of Human Services received a tip and visited the children.
24 hours!
Yes. I wonder what that tip sounded Woo! Like.
They could have killed themselves, burnt the house down anytime.
Mm-hmm. I know that tip came because somebody was looking at her Facebook page like, but where are her kids?
Right. Then they was like, Barbara, you see show the kids.
Right.
No, they ain't with me. Then me call Dollar. Dollar, they were there with you.
I'm saying she was looking at Facebook and see pictures of her feet on the beach and went, where the fuck are your kids?
Yeah, so she started calling around beach and mm-hmm. nobody had the kids. That's where the phone calls come from.
Oh, yeah. Who got the kids?
Yeah, it was like, Barbara, you got them. I ain't got them, Sally. Jim, you got no. Mm-mm. Well, then they somewhere then.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were,
They out here like, Stevie Dan Johnson. Don't nobody know where the baby is.
Yeah. the children told police mom left them and left the country. Tompkins said the police contacted Max September 21st and that she told officers she planned to be in Germany until October 1st.
Good God.
She was gonna leave her children alone.
How old are these babies?
From September 20th to October 1st. 12, 12, 7, and 6. Four children. God forbid one of them kids get sick. There's an accident in the home.
Are you serious?
Somebody breaks in. That's well, not... I guess they had the gun for that. I mean, and for each other in case maybe it was Woo! A fight. You know how it is, guys. Authorities say they convinced Mac to return to the United States before October 1st. She arrived Wednesday evening and was arrested Thursday morning. The 12-year-old children are staying with family and the 7 and 6-year-old are with their father. Mac is charged with one count of transfer of pistol revolver to a person under 21 because that was the firearm within reach of the children at the home. Karen, guess the race.
She white.
Karen's going with white, guys. People in the chat room, guess the race of Erin Lee Mac. I didn't tell it to play. Let's see what you guys say. Fuck being a parent, white. TSA pre-checked, white. All lives matter, but take down anything brown. Second Amendment Barbie. Aww. She has a passport and doesn't wear Jordans, wiggity white. Stop babying your kids. These kids would have been just fine, LOL, says Keva. What race is that? I don't know. I didn't know I couldn't do that, white. White ass German snow, white. Someone called a Manny, white. The Manny. Oktoberfest, white. I'ma say she took a knee and a trip, black. All pumpkin and then pumpkin spice.
Oh.
Anyway, the correct answer is everybody got it except June. She was white. And shout out to looking sad in court. Shout out to that. Anyway, June, I'm sorry you missed it, boo. All right. Let's go to the next one, guys. Oh my God. You really left your kids home alone with a fucking gun.
Right?
That's what Macaulay Culkin needed. Home alone. Home Alone, the movie would have been 10 minutes long if he would have had a gun.
Of course.
So maybe she was on to something. I don't know, guys. A former Iowa GOP chairman who pled guilty to incest is arrested a second time for stalking his daughter.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Two times?
Mm-hmm.
Two times.
Yep. Looks like he's going to jail for the pee. Rick Halverson, the former chairman of Iowa Warren County Republicans, pled guilty to incest after having sex with his own adult daughter and was arrested after entering the plea for stalking her. Yeah. According to the Des Moines Register, police reports state that Halverson followed his daughter to work, and when she left with a coworker to go to another location, he followed her, repeatedly making eye contact with your incest daughter who you had sex with while she was an adult, which I don't know how that happens, but what? Like, what are you what are you just sitting in the car hoping she notices you? Like, what is happening in this situation where you're just driving? Like, what are you, hopefully she'll want some more incest if she sees me over here, you know, making eye contact. I mean what choice would she have, guys? You guys know how it is. You see your father stared across the way. You're like, and I got to get some of that.
And how does that even come out?
Yeah.
The daughter was like, hey, something wrong with daddy.
Right.
It wouldn't surprise me if that wasn't consensual adult sex.
Yeah, I don't, right. He didn't get charged with rape, so I don't know. He just sitting in the car outside her job, waiting on her to notice. Driving down her behind the street with her coworker and shit. I've been alone with you. Looking all creepy, trying to make eye contact and shit. Oh, look, girl. You don't recognize your daddy call? Come on.
You remember when I had you in the back seat when you was five?
You say you love Game of Thrones. The Lannisters always pay their debts. What are you doing? You was rooting for Daenerys and Jon to get together.
Come on.
How you gonna be mad at this? You don't feel this connection? Anyway, initial reports claim that he had been arrested for sexual assault, but his daughter was being treated as a victim rather than a co-defendant. After resisting arrest,
that makes sense.
That's what initial reports claim. I guess they changed since then. I don't know. After resisting arrest, he was released on $500 bond. So he resisted arrest too? This motherfucking dog. Anyway, guess the race of Rick Halverson.
Oh, white.
Yeah. Let's see what the chat room thinks of this Republican GOP chairman who also was arrested for incest and stalking his daughter. I know it's a country song, but that's not what Deadly Lessons is about, Billy Bob.
Oh.
Don't tread on me, white. Flowers in the attic, white. Jamie Lannister, white. See, there's an update to not being in your kid's life, white. Only white people can resist arrest and not get shot. That's a great point. White folks, nasty, white. White, put that G-O on the P, on that P. I put that G-O on that P. The Beverly Hillbillies, white. Alabama, white. And Southern, white. The correct answer is that everyone got it 100% correct. He was a white man. Yeah, there's gotta be more to that story too. Incest with your adult daughter and then stalking.
Mm-hmm. You were charged.
Yeah.
Assault.
What is going on, man? There's a lot there. I don't know the whole inner workings of how all that shit worked out, but man, that don't sound right is what I'm trying to say, guys. All right, let's go to the bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race. Bonus round of guess the race. So far, Karen is 2 for 2, guys. Woo! But now we're in the bonus round. Karen, are you getting nervous?
A little bit.
All right. Let's see how it goes for the rest of you guys. Let's see. How about...
Oh, shit, we didn't groove it, ain't we?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What story we going to pick here, guys? I'll see if I can find a good one. Wow, Firefox continually takes its time to freeze up. Oh, no, I don't like this one. How about? Oh, no, here's one. All right, cool. Concord, New Hampshire. Police and a New Hampshire, say a New Hampshire man was upset over not being hired at a gas station, so he tried to run over the managers with his car.
Oh, shit.
So at least we know he had that work ethic. Yeah, a lot of stick-to-itiveness.
Had a lot of go get them.
A lot of go run them over even. Go get them and kill them, I think. Police say the man approached the Concord station on Thursday and told managers the gas pumps were damaged. When they went to check on the pumps, he tried to run them over and struck a barrier. Oh.
Holy shit.
He got close.
Oh, he could have blown them all up.
Police say William Soler then went to the police station lobby and said he was the person they were looking for. No need to
open the shut case, Bob. Right. He knew he was on video.
Why waste public resources and money when it's just they gonna find your ass anyway?
Yes, they are.
Police say they told him that he told them that he was upset because the managers didn't hire him, and then he tried to kill one of them. Well, let me say something. Nothing validates not hiring you like, you know, you trying to kill me.
Right. I might have been right by saying no.
Yeah. The other day I unfriended somebody on Facebook. And then they direct messaged me after and they called me a pussy. And I went, well, that just confirmed that was the right move.
Right. So then I unfollowed them. Yes.
Yeah. I don't need you in my life. Mm-mm. You know, you're going to call me a resilient giver of life that can take a pounding and keep coming back and retain elasticity. That's what you're going to call me? Well, then I'm not offended, but still, you got to get the fuck out of my life. It's ridiculous. Soler is scheduled to be arraigned on Friday. He faces attempted murder, reckless conduct, attempted first degree assault charges. It wasn't immediately known if he had a lawyer. Why did the article not show his picture? Let me go find, give me 1 second to bring his picture back up, because okay, let me get the images. All right, Karen, guess the race.
Oh, white.
Wait, is this the same dude? Hold up. This can't be right. This nigga done did 2 different crimes.
Oh shit, we got double header. What else did he do?
Now, hold on. No, it's a dude that had the same name, but I'm almost, but we covered this story on the show before. So I'm pretty sure that dude went to jail forever for his crime. So I'm feeling like.
Oh, we got the same name.
Yeah, I'm feeling like it's got to be a different dude. Give me 1 second to find his picture to make sure. You know, that could be the same dude. No,
it
no.
Could be. You never know.
Anyway, what race did you say, Ken?
I said white.
All right, let's check the chat room and see what race they think William Soler is. Guns don't kill people, but a car might. White. He strolled into the police station after these shenanigans and is alive. White. Yeah, he think he went to the police station. He went to the gas station and said, you can't have a job. He was like, I'll be back. He is alive, white. Black James couldn't go home and tell Florida he didn't get the job, black.
Aww.
Again, white folks, crazy white. Salty and white, they would have still been following a black man around the store. Snake from Simpsons, white. I'm owed a job, white. NASCAR for life, white. Was trying to get fast and the Furious Explosion Drift, white.
Aww.
Fast and Furious Tyrese, black. So 2 people went black, and the correct answer is he is black.
What?
Yeah, most of y'all missed it.
I demand a recount.
And some of y'all did get it right. Yeah, just 2 of y'all. that level of gas gets
I mean, it's in New Hampshire. I mean, his last name is the Sun.
Solar, S-O-L-E-R, Solar. He looked kind of like Heavy D. I guess he had nothing but love for that job, because he was ready to kill a nigga over that shit.
Yes, he was.
Is the picture showing up yet?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's him. He black.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, see, what's funny is there's another William Solar, and I was saying, remember when I was saying that we covered this crime before? Mm-hmm. He was, like, in New Jersey, I think, and he was the big dude. He was, like, super heavy, and his nickname was Wobbles. Hey, he got 15 years. He was 500 pounds. He got 15 years for having a gun.
Woo!
For gun possession. And people were making jokes about, like, oh, he's so fat. How he got a gun and all this shit. So, yeah, that's when I was like, is this the same dude? Did he cut his hair? Why is he on the street already?
Right. He got out quickly.
Yeah. And then he would have had to lose like 200 pounds to be that big. So, you know, I don't think it's the same dude. All right, guys. I don't know though. Yo, this might be the same dude, dog. What is he doing out already? Is this the same dude? You think you like the same dude? Can y'all still see my screen?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm about to look at this picture of him, and then, nah, it's not him. It's not him. Because that's the picture of him in jail. Okay, it ain't him. Damn, boy, they favor. Are they family?
Mm-hmm.
I can see it in their face. Like, they could be related. Anyway, we should be doing Sword Ratchetness by now. This is a whole other ass tangent. Sorry, guys. I don't know why that became so fucking important to me. Yeah, it's like somebody said
first cousins, relatives.
Right. They know each other or something. Anyway.
They got the same sister somewhere. Sister's mama, cousin.
Twins. That's right. Sword ratchetness time.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I handle it when I get rejected for a job. Pull out sword. Let these motherfuckers know, right? killing people with cars. All right, let's see. Like I said, Firefox moving a little slow. Let me see what... shout out to Firefox, though. Updating and then just being like, fuck it, we're going to be shitty now. It was working fine before.
Now it was all good a few minutes ago.
Now it's back to being shitty that quick. I don't even know what happened.
What the update is? What did the update do then?
Right. Can I unupdate my Firefox?
Right. Can I reverse it?
I always update because it's like, it's for your security. I'm like, well, I don't want my security fucked up. But then it's like, oh, you want it to still work?
Mm-mm. You want it to shut the whole computer down? No, I don't want to do that.
All right. Here we go. How about this one? A woman chased off a sword wielding robber with a plastic fork. Listen, this is one of the reasons y'all don't have sword training. You grab these fucking swords off the shelf, you try to rob people, and they put out a plastic fork, and you run off because why? You not supposed to have no fucking sword in the first place. You know, you just some old punk.
Eating her lunch, he bought his ass in there. She was like, I will fuck you up with this.
Right. A woman chased off this robber after he raided her shop, a store is heard. Arthur Rennie from Port Glasgow has been jailed for 4 years after he and another man entered Cowden's News and fast food shop in Greenock last March. However, the 20-year-old came face to face with Julie Crichton, 23, who refused before pushing him back and then chasing him with a plastic fork. She made time. She said, I'm reclaiming my time.
Yes, I am. And my food.
Mm-hmm. Glasgow High Court heard that the robber was later caught after a bag was found containing the sword and clothing with his DNA on it. Judge Lady Ray paid tribute to the woman's bravery.
Lady Ray, she sounds like she ought to be a character on G.I. Joe.
Mm-hmm. Lady Ray. Lady J was.
Mm-hmm. Her cousin.
Right. Her black sister. Mm-hmm. Her black cousin. She added, this was a large sword and the incident must have been very frightening. She's extremely brave young woman that tackled Mr. Rennie despite the fact he had a sword. Rennie was convicted with acting with another or attempting to rob the shop. So, all right, guys, we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Mm-hmm. We still went about 2 hours, so this wasn't that short.
Nope.
But it's gonna keep getting shorter and shorter, y'all. I promise. We'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.